Greetings. I return to you now, at the turn of the tide.
That was the wrong voice for the right quote. Tell me where it's from for a bonus point. But I'm not going to re-record it now. And this is weird, recording only in audio without video. I'm sure you're upset, but you get to listen to my dulcet tones without seeing my visage. We had to record this one kind of on short notice. As it turns out, there's a lot to this whole video thing. But, you know, we just did the top five of 2024 pod. If you haven't listened to that, go check it out. Lots of clips coming out as well. And we had to get this one kind of out the door pretty quick to get back to our bi-weekly cadence. So here we are, and it's a fun one. We do the Golden Globes. They're relevant, sort of, kind of. We talk about a couple of upsets that upset me particularly. And then we talk about Solo Leveling Season 2, which just started. A new anime called Zenshu. I give my review of the Three Body Problem. And Grant gives his review of the Bob Dylan A Complete Unknown biopic with Timothy Shamalama Ding Dong. And then we talk very briefly about some DC Batman-related stuff at the end. And we had a lot of fun doing it. This pod was supposed to be like 12 minutes and went for an hour because we've got chemistry. What do you know about chemistry, kid? I don't know. All right, Grant, hit him. Oh, hey there, Grant.
Hello, Dip.
How you doing there, fella?
Good. The holidays are behind us, and I could not be more ecstatic about that.
I know. This is wild for us. Like, this may be transparent to the listener, but we're recording kind of back-to-back. Not back-to-back, but like a week apart. Normally we have a longer break, but we did the whole top five of 2024 thing.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Had a blast.
That was a great pod. It's up everywhere, and there's plenty of clips that are still circulating, and they seem to be doing well. So people are watching it and listening to it, which is great.
Thank you, everyone.
So we hope all of you enjoy that. And yeah, back to business. I will note, no video this week. We had a quick turnaround. Yeah, we had a quick turnaround, all right? We had no time to rest. We're getting this one in. Be thankful, because I said this to Grant. I said, you know, that the alternative is we just wait, like, 2.5 weeks to record again.
Yeah.
Right?
And he wasn't too long. It's just too long, you know? And I like consistency. I like our weeks. And
So we're here. Yeah. We're here in mind and in body, but not in video. And you're going to have to live with that.
Yeah.
But we'll be back. You'll be seeing our beautiful visages shortly in a couple weeks on the next episode of the post show. So anyway, thanks for listening to the top five. I don't know if we're going to have, like, a ton today, but there's a lot of, like, odds and ends we didn't cover.
It was funny. We had, like a post, you know, like, literally, like, a post-show conversation of, like, oh, like, look at all this stuff we missed. But again, like, 2024 was, you know, I don't even know if we talked about it on the pod, but, like, it was such a massive year for everything. Like, there was so many, like, so much good anime, so much good TV and movies, stuff that we, like, both had seen and not, and it was, you know, it was a really good compare and you know, kind of explain to each other. So, but there's, like I said, there's just so much we missed.
Yeah, I think the big thing, like the absolute oversight that I made, you said you're happy with your picks.
Yeah.
But I sincerely just like forgot about the Penguin when I was making my top live action.
It was just too close, I think, probably. Like, it was, you know.
Yes, it's so
the
weird.
The problem is when you're going over your notes for the whole year, you're looking back on the stuff that's the farthest away and, like, re-evaluating everything and re-evaluating things. And the stuff that, like, you had just seen kind of, you know, you're too close to it, I guess, sometimes. At least just when you're in preparation for something, but.
Yeah, it's weird. But I will say, just for the record, it would have been really tight. My pick for a live action like show was Ripley. With Andrew Scott, and I don't know, it might have still took my number one spot. It's an incredibly different show than The Penguin, though ironically they were competing pretty directly with one another, and we'll probably continue to do that throughout award season. Did you watch any of the Golden Globes, by the way, speaking of which?
No, I didn't actually. I've never been a huge like Globes fan personally, but I know this is, I'm not saying that it's better this year from what I'm understanding. I think it's just different, you know, than their usual kind of shtick. So
I think the big thing is they got new owners about 3 years ago.
Yeah, yeah, it's no longer the Associated Press.
Yeah.
But
they seem to be trying new things. I mean, among them is like that, like the, you know, they did that new like cinematic box office achievement award.
Yeah.
Which is basically like the, you know, not critically acclaimed but commercially acclaimed award, which is would have been like actually perfect for the MCU like era.
Yeah, but 10 years ago that would have
been. It's funny, we're kind of past that now. But Wicked won for that. Mm-hmm. But I think that Wicked's pretty critically acclaimed too, right? Like, there's Oscar buzz about that, I think.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's, I think, critically, you know, people like it. There's, you know, like anything else, I think there's a bit of a, like a very loud vocal minority online just kind of saying like, oh, these aren't real movies or whatever. Like, it feels like it's kind of caught up in that conversation, which... You know, I've seen it. I really, you know, I saw it with Corinne. I really enjoyed it for what it was.
I've yet to see it. You've just seen it the one time?
Yeah. Just a one and done. And, you know, like, it was... I know you've seen the musical and all that. And, like, you know, I do enjoy musicals.
Oh, yeah.
It was so... Fun. I don't know. It was just the... It was nice because we didn't have, like, a... Definitely no sing-along audience. You know, there's only like six of us in the theater.
Oh, right. But that's a thing elsewhere, right?
It is. Yeah, it is a big thing. But like, the four other people that were in the theater with us were like, we're just so excited to see Wicked. And like, you can tell they were such big fans of, like, whether, like, the IP, like, I don't know, like, where, like, they landed. But like, they were so into it. And like, it wasn't like distracting. It was like, it kind of just like made it like that much more nice to see people so enjoying something in the moment. So like,
cool.
it definitely was like a highlight for like the theaters for me this year, like in its own way. Like it was an okay movie and fine. Ariana Grande completely steals like the movie. Like she's incredible in it. But
And from an acting perspective, she does well too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. She dials in. Like she,
good for her.
Like she, like she is the character, you know, like it's, you know, I know it's like that's such like a like an obvious thing to say, but like she really cat's going wild.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
No, I don't know. It just like she's funny, and you can kind of see like, you know, you see the growth in her character, and you can see her remorse in various, you know, parts of the movie as she's like growing and all that. Like it felt very fully fleshed, and I feel like I really know that character.
Yeah.
By the end of it, and even like to see the what's, you know, I'm curious to see what comes more for her, you know, in the next one. And Cynthia Erivo too was also really good as in her role. But I thought Ariana Grande was just like she's like a shining star like every time she was on screen.
It's always interesting to see it like how they perform when like a vocal artist like that gets into like they get on screen and how if they're able to hold their own or not. Like the other one that comes to mind is obviously Lady Gaga and Star, Bradley Cooper.
Star is Born. Have you seen that?
No.
That's a good movie.
But she was nominated for an Oscar for it.
I didn't know that.
And then, you know, she went one for one and got greedy and did Joker 2.
No, she was in...
Let that be a lesson.
No. She was in the Gucci movie. The Ridley Scott Gucci movie.
Was she really?
Yeah, The House of Gucci.
Yeah. She's just like a straight-up working actor now at this point.
I think so, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I saw that actually.
Yeah. Okay. So I've got because I actually watch the Globes. I don't often, but there's a reason, and part of it was like I was really impressed by the fact that they hired Nikki Glaser as a host.
Yeah.
I'm not like this number one Nikki Glaser fan.
Sure.
But I very much consider her like a quote real comic. Like
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah, I've definitely been known to be on like the high horse of like last year's a great example. They hired Joe Coy and he
bombed. Oh yes. Yeah.
And it was like, oh, but wasn't he some huge comic? It's like, no, he's not a huge comic. He's like this. A good example is he's like the Matt Rife of his lane, which is like, okay. No, hear me out. Which is that my go-to like an example or anecdote here is that like Matt Rife fans are fans of Matt Rife. They're not necessarily fans of comedy, and like I think that Joe Coy fans are the same.
Oh, okay. I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, and that's. Actually, no, I stand by it. But Nikki Glaser is like very much like a comic. You know, she's made like a good name for herself off the roast. Obviously, the really big one she had was the Tom Brady roast, and she annihilated.
Yeah. She's always been so good. I remember years and years and years ago, Chris Hardwick used to have that At Midnight show on the comedy. Yeah. And she was like she came back a lot. Ron Funches came back a lot. And like she would just destroy. Like she's so good on it. Like, and I was like, oh my god, like she's like hilarious.
She would be good in an environment like that.
Yeah.
But we kind of skimmed through it. I think all in all, like, there's a lot of show, or there's a lot still that I haven't seen. Sam was telling me, like, I was telling you, I think I might have even said it on the podcast, either this episode, last episode or the one before that, that like, we're going to try and go back and forth on movie picks more often.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
But we have come to a stalemate and a compromise for the time being. We agreed, hey, for now, let's try and watch a lot of these Oscars flicks that we haven't seen.
Once the list comes out, then it's like down to business. It's like, all right, Leanna, we have this many weeks. Yeah. We got to get, you know, two in this weekend, one in this weekend.
Now, granted, we have not yet seen, or one, granted, the Oscar movies aren't even out yet.
No.
But you can likely... Imminently, though. Yeah, you can also likely infer, right? Like, just based off the Globes, like, it's probably fair to say movies like Conclave, The Brutalist, mm-hmm. I don't know, Emilia Perez, perhaps Wicked, I don't know, The Substance, maybe.
Yeah, Substance definitely moved up, for sure.
Yeah, so I imagine a lot of those will be on the short list, or probably are on the short list. But so all that said, we're going to try and get through a few of those.
Nice.
I'm trying to think. You know what? I want to put at the front of the line, though.
What?
Big ups to Demi Moore. She won for Best Actress for The Substance.
First award ever, like, acting award ever?
In a 45-year career.
Yeah, that's awesome. She's so good in it, Dave. Like, it's...
Yeah, I was saying to Sam, I was like, I'm pretty sure Grant's seen this movie like 3 times or something.
I have seen it.
Am I right?
Yeah. And I think we had talked about it actually on the last episode in the top five. And I had said it then, like, it's very much like a put everything on the line performance. Like, it's full on body horror. Like, there's no corners cut for her. Like, she really, really dives into that character,
would you say it's a gory movie?
Very gory, dude.
Oh, really?
Oh, it's exceptionally gory.
I'm just thinking of Sam, and I know she's just like not.
There's, it's, I can,
her tolerance with lower than mine.
I can with confidence say that's not a Sam movie. It's hardly a Dave movie, I think.
Oh my god. Okay. Yeah. I told her that maybe that's one we watch, you know, in the afternoon with all the lights on. Maybe that'll help. I don't know.
It's not, like, it's not scary.
No, I'm getting the vibe it's not scary.
And yeah,
it's,
but it's...
straight up frightening. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. It's so funny what you... Because when you were in Nosferatu, I think you had leaned over at one... Or, I can't remember if it was, like, right at the end of the movie. But you had said something of... it wasn't scary, but... do you say disheartening? Or you said something along... Or, not disheartening. I can't remember what you said.
Haunting.
But it sucked. Haunting. You're like, that was haunting. I was like,
it was a haunting film. I think we might have talked about it, the top five thing. But that was that my movie of the year or something? I don't know. But
I think it was in your three.
It was in my top three. That I thought about Nosferatu for probably 10 straight days after we saw it. I watched every interview. I watched as much Robert Eggers coverage as I could find just to try and learn about the guy. I've got all his movies queued up, or the Northman's, like, after the Oscar movie, Northman's number one. Nice. Even though I'm interested how different it is from other stuff he's done, just based off what I've read. But anyway, like I said to you, you know, that was the kind of movie that made me want to go through his whole filmography, which is always like, there's no higher endorsement than that, right?
No.
You see one movie, you're like, oh my god, I need to see everything this person has done.
Yeah.
As far as the Globes go, maybe we can just put a bow on this. A couple of upsets. I don't know if you're aware of any of the major winners. Shogun did well, like same as they did.
I did know that. I did know Shogun did really well.
They had one upset for Shogun. It was best performance by an actor in a supporting role in a TV series.
And that was the actor's name? Sonata or Sonata? Yeah, the guy from the first village there, who was like kind of betraying back and forth. He was always
back,
like,
and forth. The audience is wondering, where the hell is this guy going to end up?
Yeah.
And but he beat out, like, here's the category for you. He beat out Javier Bardem in Monsters, Harrison Ford in Shrinking, Jack Lowden in Slow Horses, Diego Luna in La Maquina, and Ivan Moss
Bacharach
in The Bear. Wow. And his speech, for the record, went, you know, somewhat viral. He is very endearing. Like, I think his first words are, okay, you may not know me.
I saw something on Reddit, not for, like, under the winners, but, like, a week or two ago. It was like a clip of Shogun, and people were talking about, you know, just like, oh my god, like, you know, just how the thread, like, went, how, like, oh, he's so amazing. And someone had said, like, he's, like, the equivalent of Johnny Depp in Japan.
Oh,
like,
really?
This was, like, a, yeah, big? Like, well, he's, like, big, but, like, he's very, like, you know, kind of, he plays, like, that big outgoing part. So, like, clearly, like, you see it in Shogun, right? Like, he, you can see, like, when I read that, I was like, oh, I could see a Johnny Depp type performance, like, yeah, in that exact role, in, like, a different kind of, you know, so, or, you know, something else or whatever. But,
yeah.
And then I saw it again pop up. Again, people saying, like, he's the Johnny Depp of Japan. I'm like, oh, that's so funny. Him, man. But it's pretty cool. I think it's just eccentric.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm irritated to even bring this one up. Best performance at a stand-up comedy series. This entire category was an absolute joke. I will note the one, like, actual comic won for the category. It was Ali Wong for Single okay. Lady. But, dude, like, listen to her her co-nominees. Jamie Foxx.
Oh.
Seth Meyers, Adam Sandler, Rami Yusuf. And Nikki Glaser.
And that was for stand-up specials?
Stand-up specials. Stand-up comedy on television. Hmm. So I don't understand. Maybe the on-television part, like, does that mean it excludes streaming and, like, you can't take a Netflix special, though I'm pretty sure that's where Nikki's was. I don't know. But, like, it is shocking how bad that category is in general. Do you want to hear the one I'm really mad about?
Is it Jeremy Allen White winning again?
No, but no, so I haven't even watched The Bear season 3, but I know that the internet's quite angry about that. Because, like, I heard it from you. I heard it from everyone. Season 3 is a bit of a departure. Is that fair?
I watched the first episode, and I was just like, this feels so up its own ass. Already more than the show is done already. Which, again, I liked, you know, I like some up its own ass TV shows there.
Yeah.
And movies. Like, Leanne and I were just like, no, we got so much other stuff we would rather watch. And we just have not even, we're never, I don't think we're going to go back.
He was in good company, too. He had a good category, and he won. I don't know about any of the other performances, but I really, really enjoyed that Nobody Wants This rom-com I told you about.
Yeah.
Adam Brody was up for that, lost to Alan White, but I can't really speak to the rest of the performances. But, yeah, kind of weird that they won. I was, like, completely thrilled that Colin Farrell won for The Penguin.
Yeah. Yeah, well, so earned, like.
So, yeah, but, you know, stacked category, Richard Gadd, Kevin Klein, Cooper Cock, Ewan McGregor, Andrew Scott.
Andrew Scott one. For Ripley, I'm assuming?
Yeah. Okay, the one that just about ruined the night, Jodie Foster wins for True Detective, Night Country, for Best Performance by an Actress in a Limited Series.
I did get the late night text for that one.
It's not just that she won, it's that, I mean, extremely stacked category.
Yeah.
But also, I think, you know, I'll read the names, and it's Kate Blanchett, Kristen Milioti, Sofia Vergara, Naomi Watts, and Kate Winslet. Like, huge, huge, huge names. Ironically, a lot of movie stars that wound up doing TV. But I think it's that... I saw that Kristen Milioti performance in The Penguin.
She was incredible.
And Colin Farrell won. And I watched both of these performances. Like, these are the only two things I watched. And Grant, it's like they're made for two different mediums. Like sincerely. And I'm not, like, just trying to dunk on True Detective. It's just, like, I can't believe the product that The Penguin put out and how strong it was. And especially her performance. She has a solo episode in that series, as you well know, and, like, I don't know, 20 minutes of her work is better than the work that Jodie Foster did in the entirety of that series. And it's nothing against Jodie Foster, it's the material, right? Like, the part is worse, the show is worse, everything about it is worse. I don't understand. I just can't wrap my mind around that choice. That's just, like, I just don't get it. I just don't get it. Just wild. Anyway, that one pissed me off.
How many episodes was True Detective? 6 or 8?
Do you remember? 6, but let me just check.
Because I'm so curious now. Because, again, like, similar, you know, like, I heard from my brother, you know, you've a couple times have brought it up, and just not what everyone was expecting. At least the people I know that watched it was not what they expected, but...
Yeah, like, I think there's a lot of issues with it, and we could probably do, like, a whole podcast on it, but, like... No, but I think, like... The main thing is that, like, this just isn't really in keeping, Like, they just took the IP. That's all they really did. Like, they kind of just took a... it's actually a decent show, man. Like, this is the problem, is that if they just made this something else, it would have been better. Like, just drop the True Detective from the front, call it Night Country, and call it a new, exciting mystery whodunit show with supernatural elements. And, like, it'll do fine.
But, Dave, IP.
Yeah. No. That's the thing, right? So they had to, there had to be all these forced connections back to the most popular season of the show, which the showrunner and writer had no part in. So, like, they had to... Yeah, it was just... It was very forced. And also, like, they definitely used... And I hate to say this, but it's very Lost-esque. I mean, Lost is, like... giant for this, but there is a lot of it that boils down to, oh, that's just like, if you have like 10 unanswered questions, a lot of them are just like, oh, that's just Night Country, weird shit happens in the dark. There's a lot of that bullshit, and yeah, it's just, it's like a complete kind of betrayal of like what True Detective was supposed to be. I don't know, I good show, I hated it. You know what I mean? It's it's the fact that they did it that way. That's why I was mad, I think. And I don't know. I just think it's fucking stupid. But it's about the IP, right? Like, this is what it comes down to. This is, like, a known issue currently in the industry. Studios want franchise. They want IP. And I think they're doing more. So, whatever. But you know what happened immediately after that that picked me right back up?
What's that?
Sebastian Stan won for A Different Man.
Okay. I wasn't sure what he had won for, because I know...
Double
wasn't
sure if it
was
The
Apprentice. Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was for The Apprentice or if it was for A Different Man, which I really want to see, actually.
Yeah, that one... I don't know how it qualifies for musical or comedy. It looks like a tough watch, to be honest.
Well, he was... When he was on Marin a couple of weeks ago, and he had said...
Such a good pod.
Yeah. Like... just like every now and then, like, he just has incredible chemistry with somebody, and like, you know, it's like, I'm glad it was like, okay, I'm glad Sebastian Stan was one of those interviews. But no, there was a point where he had alluded that, like, it is, I think Mark had said he had seen it or was, had watched some stuff over it, it seemed pretty dark, and Sebastian had like kind of like hit home the point of like, yeah, but like, it's like, it is more than like what it, again, like a typical movie about body, you know, like bodyboard and looking different, like, you know, not looking on the outside or whatever, you know, like you mentioned earlier, book and cover and all that. But yeah, I don't know. It's my kind of movie, my kind of jam. I love Sebastian Stan. He like, and you've talked about this before too. Like, he most certainly has had the most interesting like post MCU. Like, he's still kind of in it there or whatever, but out of it, like any of like the main kind of core, like, you know, tier one, tier two actors of the MCU, like, he's definitely had the most interesting stuff come out.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I think that, like, I mean, he's also been quite public about the fact, like, if he's not Bucky Barnes, he probably doesn't get, you know, this supporting role in I, Tonya. And without I, Tonya, he doesn't get the next indie movie. And then, and then he doesn't get that movie fresh. You know what I mean? Like, and he's, yeah, to your point, I think he just picks his projects, like, really, really well. And I was just so bitter for so long that they gave Anthony Mackie the shield, which was just such so clearly, like, a decision made in a boardroom.
Sure.
And nothing to do with, like, storytelling. But, man, it, you know, maybe if he was busy filming Cap 4, he probably doesn't get a year with double nominations.
It may be.
So who knows? And then, you know, Anthony Mackie was there and was very happy for Sebastian. So
there you go.
I'll take it. And then, you know, Adrian Brody for The Brutalist, which also won Best Motion Picture.
Cool. That's another one I'm looking forward to.
Shogun for, you know, Best Drama. Hacks for Best Comedy or Musical Television Series.
You're not up on that?
I haven't seen... Dude, okay, so have you seen this?
No, I know, like, I know the premise, and it just kind of sounds like a Dave show.
Dude, every time I look at it, it looks like a show for old women, and I'm not being, like, I'm not trying to, like, ruffle any feathers, but, like, I'm serious. I watch the trailer, and I see scenes, and my thought, like, sincerely, is my mother would love this. But, like, I don't know, like, maybe I should watch it, because it wins, seemingly, every year.
Yeah.
So you don't know either.
No, I have no. All I know is about it's about stand-up comics.
And, yeah, but it's they're two old ladies. Maybe I'm judging the book by its cover here. I probably am.
Yeah. All right. There was another one years ago. I think I told you to check out. Is it still standing or standing up? Or no, I'm dying up here. That's what it was. And it had Cheeto Santino was in it. And
I love Santino.
Yeah, like there's a lot of other people, like actual comics in it. And Jim Carrey produced it, and it was pretty good. The first season. I watched the first season. I really liked it.
Yeah, starring Gene Smart, Caitlin Olsen. I don't know. Maybe I'll give it a little. Give it the old pilot treatment, you know.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. So, I distracted us for the first like 20 minutes here with Golden Globe shit.
That's all right.
But it's topical, you know.
Yeah.
I mean the only like really breaking anime thing I have is Solo Leveling.
Yeah, dude. Do you want to get into it?
Yeah, dude. So season 2, episode 1. But they're doing that thing where it's like they're just calling it season 1, episode 13.
Yeah, I don't love that. Well,
I think it's because of the trend of releasing shows in batches of 12. They're like, oh, this would normally be one season of 24, but we do this thing where we take like an 8-month break.
And do you know what else I've noticed too? And Solo Leveling isn't the only show doing it, but like the branding of a season and having it like a tagline as like in the title of the season.
Oh, like the arc.
Yeah, but, like
True Detective Night Country?
Well, yeah, there's that, so that's a good example. But in anime specifically, like, you have, like, stuff that's marketing itself as, like, Rezark or, Chainsaw Man. But, like here, what is it called for, like, it's so lovely. It made me laugh.
Does Solo Leveling have that? I didn't know.
Yeah, it has one. Where is it here?
My guy looking like such a Chad, just getting so jacked.
So Solo Leveling Season 2, Arise from the Shadow.
Oh,
yeah. And it's, like, all in the title, and that's fine. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, I'm not dissing it or whatever, but, like, that is, like, starting to become, like, a common thing in anime. Like, the seasons are, like, marketing themselves. Like, the season has its slogan or, you know, whatever, but, and it's all kind of embedded in one. Just, it made me laugh when the episode started. I was like, go get them.
I don't know if we need it.
No, it's such a frill. Like, it doesn't, you know, it's not, anything. It was just a funny little detail. It made me laugh. What an opener, dude. This is exactly what I wanted, you know? Like, when just exactly more of what we got last season.
I feel like Solo Leveling is a show that makes me, like, struggle with my own existence. Because it makes... I get so amped up on the simplest shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think I struggle with... We talked about this in, like, the top 5 review. I'm like, look at... Like, my top 5 is basically just shonen.
Sure.
And it's like, I want to believe I'm, like, the guy that just rewatches Neon Genesis and, like, Sunny Boy. And I'm just so damn deep. But in reality, like, I just want to see guys score goals in soccer. Yeah. And what is it? What's his name? Sin Woo? What is it?
Sung Jin Woo.
Sung Jin Woo. I want to see him just eviscerate people.
Yeah.
And just cut them in half. And, like, this show is so good at giving you what you want.
Like, the shot of when he catches the arrow. The ice arrow. And it's like, you were joking earlier, but it was like the ultimate, like, Giga Chad, like, fucking swoon over me ladies, like, you know, the girls, like, you know, leaning into him and all that. It was like, this show knows, like, the writer, you know, the manhwa, and, like, it's so, like, it knows its brand so perfectly, and it's just so demonstrated in this adaptation.
That's so true. It just gives you what you want. It's very main character energy. It's like, it's very, like, you know, every show does a version of the, like, of the glow up, right?
Yeah.
And, like, then there's, like, you know, there's different levels of that where it's like, oh, it doesn't always go according to plan and whatnot. Sure. But, like, sometimes you just need an overpowered, not to, like, comedy levels, like One Punch Man status, for example. Yeah, but, you need, like, a guy who's just like, yes, I'm the main character. It'll be difficult, but I'm gonna win. You know what I mean? And it's like, that's what I'm here for. The world building is great. I think another thing is, like, one thing you can't forget is that the animation has not dipped. It is sometimes sometimes better, right? They have, like, some episodes that, let's say the baseline is like a 7 or an 8. They have had like a 9 at times, but it never goes below 7 or 8.
No, it was pretty, very consistent.
They've never had a bad looking episode, and I think that helps, like, a lot.
I agree. It was there's so many, like, fun little things to love about this show. Like, there's the, you know, I was thinking, like, as I was going into the season 2 premiere, I was like, maybe I should watch, like, a quick recap. And I was like, no, I bet you, like, literally, I know exactly everything that happened in season one, I'll be fine. Like, I'm going to know who everyone is.
Yep.
And I was surprised. Like, I had forgotten about the... There was this whole, like, the A rank, or the S rank hunter, or whatever the guy is coming to, like, kill.
Yeah.
Sung Jin-woo, because, you know, he had, you know, Sung Jin-woo had killed his brother.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, shit, okay, I did miss that. So, and then, like, just, like, there's, like, talks of, like... You know, like, they meet him at the airport, and he's just, like, total dick, bad guy energy, and he's like, you know, fuck you guys.
He's a Chad. Like, he's got Chad energy.
Oh, my God. He's like...
the sunglasses, the polo.
I've never watched the show, but, like, he reminds me of, like, you know that show Baki?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, just, like, roided out, like, super, you know, like...
Do you know if that's any good? Netflix pushes it, like, hard.
Apparently, like, it has a very big fandom. I don't know if it's necessarily what I'm looking for. Maybe one day I'll jump down in the rabbit hole, but... And then, like, you know, him showing up, and, like, people are yelling, like, oh, this is, like, not your territory. And I'm like, this show is awesome. Like, it's so, it's, like... Like, I wouldn't call it cheesy, but it's, like, perfectly popcorn. You know what I mean? Like, it feels like there's just enough action in every episode.
Dude, that's a really good way to say it. Like, it's, like, it's popcorn city.
Yeah.
It's funny because it's almost in the same, you know what okay, no, I'm probably wrong. It's, like, an amped up version of Shangri-La Frontier with more Chad energy.
Full Chad, yeah.
Like, full Chad.
Yeah, full Chad.
And it's like Saturday morning cartoons, so like similar-ish to what you might use like a Dragon Ball or like a My Hero for. But it's like so elevated and so much more hype because you know just like heads are going to roll in that episode. Like I don't know. I can't say with 100% certainty, but I feel like the vast majority of season one, there was violence of some kind in every episode.
I think so. Yeah, I think that's fair to say.
No, it's not a human decapitation in the premiere. But you know what I mean? Like, there's just, like, there's violence at all times. I love it. This is, like, a absolute masterclass in, like, how you kick off a season, though. Because they did a little bit of, like, what's going on? Who's our character? Oh, right. Like, refresh your memory. But they do that for, like, 6 minutes, and then the Red Gate thing happens. And it's, oh, by the way, here's the start of the new arc.
And, like, in the like, I found that... It's so interesting. I never expected, you know, the whole plot in season one, or like, you know, like the D plot of the sister's friend going and getting, you know, she awakened, she found her power ranking, and it's like, oh, I'm sure this is going to come with someone. And they just did like a, hey, like, you know, we're looping it back. This is now like probably going to be the bigger parts of like the season or season two. It all felt like for a show that you would think would do these things super clunky and just like, ah, fuck it. Like, it happens when it happens. It all feels very, like, well put together and organized. And, like, I don't know. It was just, it was way more defined than I thought it was going to be for coming back. You know, it's just, I don't know. It's good. I love it. Like, I'm happy to see it. But,
Yeah, I don't know if there's much more to say. It's probably fair to say we will be in this, like, Red Gate / snowy environment for a little while.
I think I would say one more.
Oh, you think? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, they got so much done in the first episode. You're right. Yeah.
I remember thinking, like, and maybe just, like, where we've been at, like, for the past few years with, like, Demon Slayer and My Hero. I remember that snake fight early in season one of Solo Leveling thing. Like, oh, this is going to go on for, like, 3-4. And it was like, boom, I'm going to drop his ass next.
They get so much done, you're right.
Yeah.
And we have this major, major buff. We got to see the whole shadow necromancy.
Igorus.
So badass.
And him, like, him sitting back and, like, being, like, the meta-ness of it, of, like, him watching, like, oh, like, I'm burning so much mana. Like, him, like, figuring out his abilities and, like, I should have did Igris off right off the bat. And then, like...
Everybody knows how that works. Everybody knows how that works.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, I really, really...
Not everybody. Really the viewers of this specific show, like, they don't miss a beat. They totally get it.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, Igris. I am... it's funny having a silent character that you like, you know what I mean? That has no dialogue... And you, like, just off the basis of, like, they had a cool fight. It makes me wonder, like, will Igris fight this other hunter that wants to kill Sung Jin-woo? Will we be sad if and when Igris is killed? Yeah, I don't know.
But I'm wondering, does he just respawn? Like, how does that... And we don't... Again, we don't know. But my curiosity is Sung Jin-woo going to be, like... How where's the split going to be between him summoning stuff and him fighting?
Yeah.
At the same time, like, is it? Are we gonna? Is it, you know, like, are we gonna get both at the same time, or is it gonna be like one or the other? you know, it's yeah,
that's the question he had at the end of season one, right? Because like necromancy isn't necessarily like caster isn't. He literally calls it, this isn't really compatible with my build.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, he's an up close. He's a close combat kind of class. So it's I don't know. We'll figure it out. It'll be some weird hybrid. I don't know. Any other anime that you want to cover other than that?
There's only another one. I checked out that Zenshu show, which I the second the episode ended, I was like, where's my phone? I got to text Dave.
I got a few minutes in. I ran out of time
before
we had to do it. But it looks interesting. I don't know if it's totally my thing, but what did you like about it?
Well, again, just I think the audacity of MAPPA to make an anime.
Oh, is it made by MAPPA?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, that's pretty funny.
I thought it was going to be like a working themselves to death. It's not a spoiler to say, like, it's all in the marketing. Like, you know, the main character is this up and comer.
They cover it in the first 2 minutes.
And that was my surprise too. I was like, oh wow, they're just going to completely, like, I thought this was going to be like a season's worth, like, you know, half a season's worth of like seeing her like getting to the point where she does die from exhaustion or whatever, and like she gets killed off by like bad clams, which I thought was so funny. And then it was cool. It's not quite an isekai story, because like I'm not sure, like I don't think she's in another world. And this is what made me think I think you might like it, is because there's a couple shots of her, like she's in like a movie theater watching what's happening. So it almost, like, I'm almost wondering if it's, like, a situation where, like, she's on the brink of death, and this is all kind of, like, you know, her on her deathbed thinking this
she's
out.
She's having the whole, what's that, you know, Christmas
life
story?
Oh, Christmas Carol.
Like, yeah, she's having her Christmas Carol moment.
It kind of seems like that, but, like, there's just, you know, I don't want to get too into it. I think everyone should watch it. This is definitely going to be one of the big ones of the year. There's no doubt in my mind, unless it completely falls off. But this is a very strong pilot. And there's just a literally like a 3-minute Sakuga, like just blow your pants off animation scene at the tail end of the episode.
Really? Okay.
Oh, Dave. I
told you, I got about halfway through.
No, I know. Yeah. No, in the very tail end of the episode, it kind of like literally like it happens, and then there's like cue, like credits more or less, like, you know, we'll see you next week kind of thing. So just the story, like this character, I don't know yet. I've only watched one episode, but she dies. She goes into this show that's like kind of like, it's implied that like it's not well loved. And it was like it ended early because it wasn't good enough, didn't do well. And she goes into this world. It's funny because like the characters like all kind of like look different. It's almost like they're different, like from different series, like each one. You know, there's
different animation style kind of thing.
Not like full animation styles, but like different color palettes and like kind of character designs like don't fit into the same world. Like there's like this little unicorn that looks like straight out of like not My Little Pony, but like, you know, something like a kid show adjacent.
Right.
And no one like believes her. They all think she's a goblin. No one believes that she's like a human, cause she's like kind of like, you know, her face, her hair is always covering her face. But there's just like this set piece battle at the end, and she kind of like rises to the occasion. You know, by the end of the episode, like some of the rules of the world are kind of coming through, and it's just like I said, Dave, it's literally an explosion of like color and animation. And, you know, I put that in quotations, and you'll know what I mean by the end, but just really, really, really cool pilot. I highly encourage everyone to check it out. Like even just to see what they pulled off in that one episode, like even if it's not your thing, it was very much like a showpiece, like cap off to the, to the episode. It was really, really cool.
Okay, well, I guess I should finish it.
Yeah, I think you should.
Okay, sounds like a strong one of our first. Well, no, that's two. We've got Solo Leveling and Zenshu, like as the beginning to the winter season that is sure to be very busy. Do you know off the top of your head? Oh no, I think it's February for White Lotus season 3.
I believe is it February or March?
Oh, okay. But either of those is late enough. We are at season 2, episode 4.
Okay, so you're halfway through?
Yeah, there's 7, so a little more than half, 3 left. And, dude, I can't believe how good this show is.
It's so good.
This is, I hate to say the hot button word, this is peak drama.
I agree. I agree.
Like, this is like what really high-level drama, original storytelling looks like in like 2024/5. Like, it's not IP. As far as I'm aware, somebody feel free to correct me, including you. Like, unless this is based off a bunch of books or something that I'm not aware of. No,
it's original. Mike White wrote it. He wrote School of Rock.
Yeah, it's so random.
Ned Schneebly.
And what's also wild, and I don't know how it ends yet, but at least up to this point, the like level of quality has not dipped from season one.
Mm.
And like, this is like the famous like True Detective story is like, you know, you work on season one for like 10 years and then you are rushed to do season two and it's impossible to meet the same level of quality. But like, I don't know how he kept the quality up for the second season, because he turned it around in what, a year and a half?
I think it was pretty short to turn around. I don't know. I like that the show feels like from season one to season two, like it feels like the same show,
yeah.
But just the character of the location itself, like does so much of the heavy lifting to make it feel so unique. Right. Like, I know like that can be, you know, like crutch for some shows, like, oh yeah, like it doesn't matter. You know, like, I don't know. Like, I can't think of anything in particular, but like, you know, like you sometimes you just watch it like, oh, like the backgrounds are pretty, like doesn't really matter. Like what's happening, what everyone's saying or whatever. But like, everything is dialed in. Like they do like the,
it is
just the high quality of like the resorts and the it's places gorgeous. And the rooms. Like
it's beautiful. Yeah. Cause he directs it too, right?
I'm not sure actually. I'm not off the top of my head.
Director. I don't know. I'm pretty sure he directs at least some of them, but like,
I know he writes it by himself. I know that much.
It is gorgeous to look at. And you do make a good point about like the location, like the actual White Lotus location, or at least the franchise of the hotels.
Yeah, it does
help them, right? It is a vehicle for storytelling, because mm-hmm. you can conveniently be like, you know, other shows or stories need to find a reason to be like, hey, I'm pulling in 10 characters from random places and I'm dropping them off, chaos ensues. You need like a reason, right, to get to your like you know, your glass onion type story. Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, it's just so simple. It's like, yeah, it's a resort, like boom, like done. Now you can now you can write the story part. And everybody, I think the other thing is like, I don't know if they just have the best casting ever or what, but everybody on the show is amazing. Everybody. Like, everybody's amazing.
The one of my favorites from season two is Michael Imperioli. Just like playing the ultimate, like clearly like a loser husband and guy, but like
he's sex addicted father. Yeah,
you can see on like a base level, like he is trying, but you can just see like how confused he is to like actually, you know, follow through.
It's like it's funny and it's really so funny. Sad.
Yeah, it is
so sad to watch.
It's probably one of the more like, and I don't think this is an exaggeration to say, but like, it reminds me so much of The Wire in that, like, these feel like real people.
Yes, I agree with that.
Like,
you
could easily say, like, this is like them, like cartoon versions of these types of people. It doesn't feel like that. It feels like these people. Like,
yeah, you know. The girls, the foursome couple there, the two boys, the two girls, Aubrey Plaza.
Yep.
Like, I've met the character she's playing. You know what I mean? It, you're right. Like, the characters are so based in reality.
Mm-hmm.
Everything just feels like reasonably. Like, yeah, I can absolutely see this going. Like, these types of things happening. You know who I love, like, just as from a performance perspective, because he's such a piece of shit, is the character Cameron. He's played by Theo James.
The really tall British guy?
Yeah, the tall, good-looking guy.
He
does not have a British accent in the show, I think. Does he have a British accent in real life?
Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry. I watched The Gentleman this year, and he was in it. He's like, very posh. Like, well,
British in real life?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow, that's even more impressive. His vocal performance. Like, he...
Oh, you're right. Yeah, he isn't British.
His performance is very, very strong. But again, everybody's is very, very strong. Mm. He's such an asshole.
I know. They all are. By the end, like, everyone is just like, fuck. Like, you want to get off the island as much as like some of the characters in the show. You're like, I am so sick of these people.
This is the thing, dude. We're on episode 4, and we are nearing the point, again, they're just threading the needle, where I'm like, everyone is becoming so wound up, and the tension is being built so effectively.
Yeah.
Just like in season 1, you're like, I could see any of these people killing one another.
Yeah.
Like, I truly could. I could see something going wrong in any one of these many relationships. And they haven't even all begun to, like, mix yet. Like, no. The son, the innocent baby boy, played by Adam DeMarco. He's Michael Imperioli's son.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just met the Lucia. He just met the prostitute and brought her home. I'm assuming has no idea that she's a prostitute that was also with his father a couple nights before, and was also with Theo James's character before that. But yeah, like the characters are starting to bump into one another now.
Oh my god, you got so much good stuff left too. Like you're not even like you're at the halfway point, and there's just like
yeah,
it's a really good, I'm super excited for season three.
One other shout is a character who plays the character named Portia. She's played by Haley Lou Richardson. She's Jennifer Coolidge's assistant in the show.
Yes, she was great.
Based as hell, dude. Everybody is I just like this is like it truly is like the best drama I've seen in a long time, and the closest thing to it is season one of The White Lotus. You know what I mean? And before that, I don't know what else. Like, it's just really, really, really good. I mean, you could say Ridley and Penguin, but man, is that ever a different bag? Like, it's funny how different that, like, it's not even comparable.
Well, maybe not quite comparable, or, like, genre-wise, but next episode, next pod, we'll be talking about Severance Season 2.
Oh, wow.
Next Friday, dude.
Yeah. I don't know if it's me or if it's you breaking up. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, yeah. Okay, we're good now. Man, wait. When does that come out?
Next Friday. Next 17th. Friday.
So that'd be... Oh, my God.
So next Tuesday, we'll be talking about it.
Yeah, I think I was telling you Severance Season 1 has like really hit the like reactors circuit.
Yeah.
In preparation of Season 2. And also, Apple did a smart move. They made all of Apple TV Plus this past weekend free.
Oh yes,
their entire catalog was available for free to watch. So hopefully, you know, this gives them a good boost because they could really use that help. Apple, world's most valuable company.
I saw the Ben Stiller and Adam Scott podcast series started this week. I think. So
what are they doing? Are they just reviewing like the first episode? I'm not sure. The episodes from season one.
I haven't checked it out yet, but yeah. I think it's like a primer probably for like what the plan is for the rest of the season.
I think they might be like, you know, watching episode one of Severance and then talking about it and giving you like BTS commentary.
Oh, I'm up for that.
That I could be inventing that, but I could have swore I saw something about that. Anyway, yeah, dude, Severance is probably like my most anticipated live action related.
Honestly, that and White Lotus, I think, are the only live action that I'm aware of that are coming.
Yeah.
Shogun Season 2, but that probably won't come out this year.
Yeah, I mean, I have this sitting in front of me. I wasn't going to bring it up, but I'm just going to give you a quickie FYI. Because I had this sitting in my notes, and we just haven't had a chance to talk about it with the holidays and the scheduling.
Yeah.
But speaking of live action drama, though it's not really drama, we did wrap up the Three Body Problem over the holidays.
Ooh, okay.
I think my takeaway is I'm like excited for season two.
Mm-hmm.
I will watch it. I enjoyed it, but? I feel like it was like a good, not great kind of show by the end.
I agree.
Yeah, I think I think that it can really be boiled down to like pacing. Like I don't know. It almost feels like they either ran out of money or time. Because every time I think about what my complaints of the show are, it's like, yeah, they needed more time. They needed more time to explore like characters and set up plots and like make sense of some things. It's funny, some of the issues I have with it are like very similar to the issues I had with the end of Game of Thrones, and it's the same guys, right?
Yeah.
But it is like a very captivating story. It's very interesting. It's like an exciting new take.
I just like good sci-fi on TV, you know? Like, we don't get a ton of it. So like you said, like, even if it's good, not great, it's just, like, nice to have good sci-fi on TV.
Yeah, I agree with that. Dude, did you ever watch The Watchmen, the show?
I watched the first couple episodes. I never, like, really got into it. I know you've said before that I should give it another go, but...
Yeah, I think I don't know if I told you. We got, like a DM from a guy who was listening. It was like, has Grant ever seen The Watchmen? And I was like, no, he should, though. Because I think they'd heard me talking about it, about how great it was. I'll just say this, Grant. It's more And this is as strong as the endorsements get from me. It's the ending. They stick the ending so goddamn well.
Huh.
That it has one of those... you and I have to coin a term for live... Not this minute, but think about it. For live-action Sakuga, where, like, not necessarily... not necessarily, like, because in Sakuga, in anime, it's like the animation is dialed, the music is dialed, the edit, right?
Yeah.
You can't make live action look better. But it's like the, it's one of those magical moments where the music is just right, the cuts are very specific, it's editing between a very hyper-specific sequence of events that is happening. There's sometimes narration on top of it. It's the culmination, it's the climax, right?
Mm.
And they have one of the, they have one of the best endings I've seen. Particularly in that genre, which is like, you know, drama, I don't know if you'd call it sci-fi, but like drama superhero stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But I feel like The Watchmen's kind of sci-fi-ish with the Dr. Manhattan thing. I don't know.
Is he in the Dr. Manhattan? Oh, yeah. In the live, or the HBO one?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I can't really say much more than that. His character's involved.
Okay, one last question about that. Is it, like, straight out of, like, a story based in the same time period as, like the comic? Or is it kind of, like, a new take on the whole thing?
Oh, that's a vital question. And
okay.
It's a vital question, and it is...
Unanswerable?
No. It okay. is, I can say with confidence, it's a certain number of years after the events of the movie. I don't know how many.
Okay.
And there are, like, a couple things that they, like, they intentionally don't tell you. Like, you're not really meant to know, like, how many years have passed and what specifically happened. You're kind of, like, it's sort of revealed to you slowly. You know what I mean?
The one thing
It's a show don't tell in that aspect.
Yeah, but the one thing I do remember, there was a really big set piece of, like, riots in the first episode. I remember that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, like that day was referenced, like, again, like, in the later in the first episode and in the second as well.
But, yeah, I think one thing that actually, this is, like, one of those, it's almost kind of Game of Thrones-ish. One thing that actually really, really helped me is there was a moment where I was like, okay, enough. Like, I just have to Google a cast sheet. Because it's obviously all different actors playing the same parts that are shown in the movie, but also with like a time jump 10 years ahead, right? So you're like, so I'm supposed to know that this is that character 10 years later who's also played by a completely different fucking actor, and they're just because they use the same name, I'm supposed to, you know what I mean, like have all this reference in my head. That's kind of difficult unless you're a huge Watchmen nerd.
Sure.
But you know, I saw that movie, you know, twice however many years ago. So like one thing I did, I was like, I just Googled, you know, who plays who, but like,
oh, okay.
If you want, I'll do that without a spoiler, any spoilers, you know, included. Cause there might be reveals or something down the line.
You know what? Yeah. I'm going to put that.
Think about it.
In my near future, actually. I need something. It. I need something older.
Yeah.
I think that might be it.
That's all I got. Anything else you wanted to talk about?
Can I take like 5 minutes to talk about Timothée Chalamet?
Oh, Christ. No, yeah, of course.
My brother and I took our father to go see Complete Unknown.
I love that those eyelashes he's wearing above his lip.
My brother? Or Timothée Chalamet?
No. Timothée Chalamet.
That was gonna say, he's got a better mustache than some whiskers.
Yeah, no. That was a roast from Nikki Glaser. She said that on the air on the Ethical Globes to him. She goes, I love your eyelashes above your upper lip.
That's so funny.
That's a good one.
I gotta say, the friggin' the Shyamalama Ding Dong media machine the past couple of weeks has been pretty great. I love that he's so down for it. I love that he's just, you know, just a bit of a goofball.
This kid's a bro.
He is a bro. He's on, you know, he was on Nardwar there, so that was cool. He got to the punk props there, but no, it was good. I enjoyed it. I think he is amazing. Like, you know, he really put the work in. He sounds like Bob Dylan.
I've heard this. It's like pretty wild as far as biopic transformations go.
If like, you know, like not to like gripe on the movie. I thought the performances were amazing. I'm not sure the actor's name, but she played Joan Baez, who's like a, you know, was like a prominent folk singer at the time. She had like her. Anytime she was on screen singing, I was just like blown away. I was like, whoa, like,
really?
That was really, really good. So all in all, good movie. I feel like, it, you know, I think there's like a mystery to Bob Dylan, like even like in his history, like, you know, very, like, kind of dodging questions and, like, didn't really let anyone in to a certain extent.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like by the end of the movie, I was like, ah, like, I don't really, I just felt like I was watching events in his life. I didn't really get to know him all that much.
Sure.
Which, you know, maybe you want some of that in a biopic, but all in all, really good movie. My dad was, like, beside himself excited that he, like, growing up, like, Bob Dylan was, like, the artist in our house. It was him and John Prine.
This was a household growing up kind of artist for you?
Bob Dylan was just always on. Whether my dad was playing his songs or, like, you know, my dad put his music on, like, the stereo, like, you know, right. It was always him or John Prine.
Okay.
And so, like, that was, like, a really nice experience, you know, for us to do that with him. And just, you know, he was just so happy. He was blown away. He also hadn't been in a theater. Like, I think the last movie I saw with him was Django Unchained, which was 12 years ago. Oh, and I remember the detail. We were, like, halfway into the movie. He's like, this is way too bloody.
That's funny.
And I would be like, yeah, I heard there's a set piece at the end that you're not going to love then. But anyways, Dave, the thing I really want to talk about more than, like, Timothée Chalamet's, like, really good performance was, like, I don't, like, I'm not going to, like, call people, like, I'm not going to, like, generalize and, like, call people boomers. Because I think that's, like, you know, like, it's not, it's just not, like, productive.
Sure.
But I think I can, what's the opposite of a Karen? Like, a male? Karen, is it a Ken?
Sure. A Chad. No, not a Chad. Yeah, sure. Just,
like, yeah. Just, like, a...
We'll say Ken.
A boomer age, like, probably even younger than my father. Just, like, absolute abhorrent asshole fucking behavior in the movie theater. Like... It was just, I was just, like, blown away. Like, it took me everything not to, like, say something to this guy. But, like, I knew nothing good would come of it because, like, he just sort of doubled down on everything that he
of
was,
course,
like.
Of course, of course.
Like, you know, it was, like, a total, like, you know, higher road situation. But Devin and I were talking about it. Like, we don't, like, this movie is, like, you know, it's for everyone, obviously. But it's clearly very targeted to a very specific audience nostalgia, right?
Yeah.
And, like, we were probably, like, the youngest people in the theater by, like, a huge margin. Like, this is not the group of people we typically see movies.
Right, that makes sense, yeah.
Ever. So I'm, like, very much in, like, unknown waters.
Yeah.
It was just, like, one of the most jarring theater experiences I've had in quite some time.
Because of this one specific guy?
This one guy was, like, so loud, and his phone's going off, and he's yelling at his kids, and, like, had, like, a micro meltdown over the fact that, like, there's assigned seating.
Oh, my God.
And, like, was just going, like...
That's the whole point. That takes so much of the movie theater problem.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he was, like, you know, like, oh, it was just... It was too much. I still enjoyed the movie.
That blows. But just,
like... But, I'm, like, I'm not going to repeat some of the things that this guy said, like, on air. But, you're like, just, bad? Like... Oh, he, like... Like, I'm definitely going to tell you off air.
Right.
But, like, there's... He had made a comment at one point. Because before you even hear Bob Dylan saying this, John Baez character, like, does, like, a really beautiful, you know... I would call it a set piece. It's a very well, really cool scene of, like, her and performing in, like, this, I think, the Gaslight Tavern in New York City. And she's singing House of the Rising Sun. And this guy's, like, having a meltdown saying things. Like, I came to see a Bob Dylan movie, not a fucking, you know, then going off. Because it's a woman. But, like, he's, like, his wife eventually told him, like, shut the fuck up shortly after that. But she could, it was the ultimate experience of, like, secondhand embarrassment. And, like, how could you ever... I was just like, how can people behave like this, you know? Like, regardless of age, you know what I mean? I was just shocked and blown away. And
that's wild,
it's,
man.
It's been on my mind since we saw it.
It's funny because right before we hit record, we were talking, or I don't think we were recording, but you and I were just talking about, like, just luck with flights and whatnot.
Yeah.
And, like,
oh, yeah.
You
know,
see, like, the public meltdown type videos of, like, I'm really fortunate... I don't fly that much, but I'm glad I haven't had, like, a, you know, just a dipshit on a plane.
Mm.
And I haven't had, I've had a couple where I almost said something, but nothing anywhere near what you're talking about. I've never had anyone truly that level of, like, obnoxious. That's wild. That sucks.
I think the last time, not quite the closest, but, like, the other memorable one is when I saw Civil War in the theaters.
The Alex Garland one?
The Alex Garland movie. Yeah. And there were some very, like, very specific leaning people who were just like, this would be a dream. Like, I'd be able to do whatever I want. And it's like, like, you clearly don't understand, like, the conflict of war and, like, what it does to people. Like, you guys are stupid. But, yeah, it was a lot.
Damn, but, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, on the plus side... You know, this really does complete the Chalamet experience of his insane run to the Oscar. And if he gets it...
Oh, he's taking it. I think he's taking it.
And if he gets it, he might be youngest ever or some bullshit.
Well, he very... it was so funny because he was in that Nardwar interview and he was like, there's this whole portion where he shouts out Lil B, like Bass God, the rapper, and like how he was blessed by him. And then like almost immediately was like, and shortly after I was like the youngest male actor ever nominated for an Oscar in Lady Bird. Or whatever it was, and I was like, well, okay, dude, you gotta cool the jets there a little bit. But I don't know, I do like him. Like, I do like him.
It would be hard. I mean, we've talked about this ad nauseum, but like, you know, see above, see all young people that got incredibly successful very young, and like then later had, you know, just all types of issues with their ego, and like it, I think it would be impossible to like remain any remotely level of humble when you go on the type of run that he's on. Not impossible, but just exceedingly difficult. He's dating a Kardashian. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Yeah.
I just don't. Yeah. How can you relate to, like, you know what I mean? To quote real people, I don't know. And I'm not shitting on the guy. He's he's had like some wild performances recently. So yeah, I mean, maybe I'll see it. I'm just not a big Bob Dylan guy, so it might be kind of lost on me.
It was honestly like, if I had not had like the association to the man via my father, I would never, like, I don't think I would see, like, if I took that, completely separated that from my feelings, and like reviewed the movie, it's like, you know, it's a 3.5-star movie. Like, you know, it's not a masterpiece or anything.
Right. It's all about like the biopic part.
Yeah. I want to hear the band sing some songs, and like, and he did, and he showed up and he sang the songs like really, really good. And you know, there was a good supporting cast, like kind of the people, Boyd Holbrook plays Johnny Cash.
Oh, that's cool.
And just like comes in like big swinging dick. Like it was actually like, I love this, his take on Johnny Cash.
That's pretty cool.
But, Fight Club there. What's his name? Not Brad Pitt.
Norton?
Yeah, Edward Norton was really good in this.
Oh, I didn't know he was in there.
Good for him. He played Pete Seeger, kind of like one of the guys that like made Bob Dylan, Bob Dylan.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, really, really, really cool. There's like, Dave, I would recommend it when it's out and it's on Netflix or wherever, and like you have like a Friday night and you just want like
some
like relaxed. It's a good movie. Like, it's just a good movie, you know?
I'll take her for a little spin.
Yeah. Yeah, but, yeah, that was a complete unknown.
Yeah, good for him. Good for the old Shalamala Ding Dong there.
Get him.
I just want, I think the result of like the award season had me looking at a lot of movies.
Mm.
And I wound up like probably for the second or third time going down the like Dune 2 like clip rabbit hole and being like, fuck, that was a good movie. I got to rewatch that. And then being reminded of how it ended, being like, we need the third one, dude.
Yeah, we do need the third one.
And hopefully it comes faster than the Batman sequel. Anyway, that's all the time we got for today. And, I'm playing. But I do really hope we get Dune Messiah, like, soon.
I hope so, too.
Yeah. And I saw your boy Matt Reeves give a little interview here on the red carpet at the Globes. He's, they're going to shoot this year.
Yeah, he was out there to friggin' put out some flames. Holy shit, the internet was losing it.
Hey, man, it's taking a little bit of time here, okay? Let's get it. I think it doesn't act, you know, jokes aside, as many advantages as there are of having James Gunn, you know, or like having a creative run the studio, one of the disadvantages is that James Gunn just goes on Twitter and does AMAs like every week and is like, nope, Matt Reeves, don't have a script yet. Like, it's like, yo, can you shut up? Like, I'm working on it. Yeah. But yeah, he's very public about like the various stages of development that various projects are in. And you know what else is interesting? And I'm this is probably nothing, but let me just get it on record here, Grant, just in case I'm right. Okay. Is he said, Brave and the Bold, which was the Batman movie he greenlit, is on hype. Like, there it's, he says, script's not ready. I will not green light anything without a script. Like, it's not ready. It needs more work. There's no casting. There's nothing happening with our Batman movie. And then in the same conversation, Josh Horowitz, he says, have you thought more about, you know, bringing Robert Pattinson into your DCU and the Matt Reeves universe and that whole thing? And he goes, of course, I think about everything all the time. Next question. And it was like, I wonder if that's the result of any of this friction between the two of them and what's going on. But it's probably nothing. Matt Reeves is doing his own thing.
Yeah.
He was also very public, by the way, about, very direct about, we want to do season 2 of The Penguin. I'm very interested. Pattinson will be 41 by the time Batman 2 comes out.
Aging like a fine wine.
He is. Guess how old Christian Bale was in Dark Knight?
Oh. Is it younger than I think or older than I think? Probably younger than I think.
Younger than I thought, at least. I'm not very good at this, though.
34.
He was exactly 34.
Good job. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But isn't that weird how Robert still looks younger now than Pat... Or, I'm sorry. Robert Pattinson still looks younger now than Christian Bale did then. It's weird. It's just like two different guys that look very different.
I was going to say, there's something about Christian Bale's face that feels very...
masculine, old.
Very sharp. Mannish. You know, like, yeah. Yeah,
but also brutish. Bale. Also, Bale absolutely did the roid cycle for Batman. He was so much more beefy and like...
Well, he's no stranger to body transformations.
For yeah, me, that's true. Anyway, really looking forward to that. I'm sure we'll talk plenty about it in the coming weeks as many other things break. We'll be back. We're good, right, Grant?
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back in a couple of weeks. I haven't plugged our social media once. What am I doing here? Follow us on Spotify, Apple Music, TikTok, YouTube, part-time Otaku podcast. You're listening to us. We're here bi-weekly. We do the post show every other week on what we're watching, and we will at some point in the future. We have no dates yet, but Grant and I are both reading Berserk Deluxe volume edition number 2 right now. I don't know when we're gonna wrap it up, but when we do, Grant, we'll be back.
We're podding,
and we're gonna be back in glorious video. Okay, so yes. Thanks for dealing with this, and we'll catch you next time. Grant, go ahead, say the thing.
Bye, guys.
Cheers.